Good morning, my brothers and sisters. We are gathered once again in our Father's house to receive from Him. And as we are here to receive, we come in with open hands to receive whatever it is that He has for us. And the one thing I know that He has for us is the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we'll be receiving in the absolution, the Lord's Prayer, the sermon, the communion, all these things. We're going to be receiving forgiveness, but we also want to have our hands open and receive whatever else the Lord has for us today. So as we begin our service, let us remember the day that we were brought into the family of God in our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord, a day that we get to gather in your name to hear your word and to receive from you. I pray that you would give us all that we need, Lord. You know our needs more than even we do. I pray, Lord, that you would provide for your people as you have promised to do. Send your spirit to work in our hearts and minds and grow our faith. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's confess our sins, and then receive that forgiveness that we were talking about. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing.
Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise. Kevin Chegg, I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings that you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah, and he will bring the king of Assyria. Please, this is the word of the Lord.
The sermon text for today is Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. And this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is God's word for us today. It is now time for the children's message. So children, if you guys would come forward at this time. Mr. Teuscher has the message today.
Good morning.
It does work.
All right, guys. I have an idea. Did you just listen to the sermon that Pastor Bob read? Did you guys hear it? In it, it said, Joseph went to sleep, and in a dream, God spoke to him through an angel. All right, so I need your help. I've got a plan, and I need your help. I brought with me some things to help me go to sleep. And then while I'm sleeping, I need you guys to look for the angel. I've got some questions I need to ask him. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? And more importantly, I really want to be good this Christmas. So I want to ask him what I'm supposed to do in order to be good. So can you guys watch for the angel? Can you do that? Yeah. Excellent. All right, all right. We're going to get ready. All right. I brought some things with me. I even got my Christmas blanket. All right, I'm going to close my eyes, and you guys are looking for the angel, right? All right, let me know if you see him. Shh. Do you guys see the angel? Let's try again. About now?
No.
Well, why isn't this... It worked for Joseph. Why isn't it working for me? Valid. Valid. Well, then, what am I supposed to do? Wait, I tried that. Do you see the angel yet?
No.
All right, well... Valid. All right, so... What am I supposed to do if I want to know what God wants me to do? Pray. That's definitely a good way. What are some other ways that we can learn what God wants us to do? Read the Bible. Any other things to have your parents or maybe Pastor Bob or Pastor Josh or your Sunday school teacher ever told you? Those are all really good places. So it's not every time that we're going to learn what God wants by an angel coming to someone. But we can still look and listen. And Joseph heard some hard news that was going to make his life a little bit difficult, and he still listened and did it anyway. So as we're coming up to Christmas, and as things get difficult, and you really want toys, be listening for what God wants you to do through all of those ways, okay? Okay. Can we pray? Dear God, thank you for being with us. Please guide us. Please help us throughout this holiday season to listen to our parents and to what you want us to do. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you, guys.
All right. So if you are age 4 to 4th grade, you can go meet at the center where the cross is going, and you can go on to little worship with your parents' permission. And I assure you, we will bring them back after the sermon is done. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. I always like to pause there and just imagine what it must have been like for Joseph. You're trying to do everything right. Trying to follow God's instruction well, and you're so excited. You're engaged to be married. You're looking forward to the day, but then you come to discover what you don't expect. The one whom you are betrothed to is pregnant, and you're 100% certain it is not you. Now, if you look through the instruction of God, what it actually says in Leviticus is that if a woman is betrothed to be married, and she ends up knowing a man who is not her betrothed, then the two of them actually are to be brought out and stoned. And that is the just thing to do. Because it's not good that that should take place. Yet, intriguingly, Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered all these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew notes, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So as I was reflecting upon that idea of God with us, I was meditating on the fact that throughout the history of human perspective of a lowercase g God visiting people has not always been seen favorably. Consider in Norse mythology, you have Loki, a trickster god who likes to, again, pull tricks on gods and humans and really do whatever he pleases. Or if you consider the Greek and Roman pantheon of gods, pretty much all of them really only did what was good in their eyes, whatever they wanted to do, and they didn't really care about how the humans, you know, played out for things. My point was that if they were truly having a god with them, in a sense, that might not have been deemed favorable. They want the god to bless them, of course, but to have a god fully visit them, well, that might not end well for them. And so that's intriguing to me. But even going back to the true God, the triune God, and how it's depicted in the Bible, my mind went to Adam and Eve. And right after the fall, are they eager to have God with them in that moment? You see, they have just done the one thing that God said, do not do. And God is going to walk with them, and they are hiding in shame. And God calls out to the man, and the man says, I'm here. And God says, what's going on here? And Adam's like, well, I was hiding because I was naked. Because that's the problem, God. And God's like, well, who told you were naked? See, Adam is not overly jazzed about the idea of God being with him in that particular moment, because the reality is that the fullness of what he has just done is upon him. And in fact, the very idea of God being with him in that moment wants him to then go and hide in self-preservation. Or in a similar way, consider when God Almighty has brought the people out of Egypt. He sent the 10 plagues and has demonstrated that he is the only supreme entity that exists, demonstrating that all these pantheon of Egyptian gods, they have no power, not even real. For God Almighty has come and devastated the Egyptians and brought his people out of bondage and slavery. And they go to Mount Sinai, and the people hear the voice of God, and their response is, oh my gosh. Moses, you go, man. All right, I don't know what's going to happen to him, but you go, all right? If you survive, you can tell us what exactly God says to us, but we don't want to go anywhere near that scary voice. And the idea of God being with those people didn't sound particularly appealing in the fullness of what it might mean. Or then you have Isaiah. He is there meditating in the temple. And he sees the Lord Almighty, as it says. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple, and above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two covered his face, two covered their feet, two they flew. And they called out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is God Almighty coming in majesty and power and strength, so large that the train of his robe is filling the entire temple. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah's response is, woe to me, I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. I have seen for my eyes the King, the Lord of hosts. In other words, God being with him in that capacity, in that moment, terrified him. Because he knew the fullness of his sin and his guilt. And he said, I've heard these tales. If in my sin God visits me, I'm dead. I'm done for. And yet this chapter I just read to you from comes right before our other reading for today, where God sends Isaiah to be his prophet. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, that one's the king of Judah, the southern kingdom. The line of David was continuing through them. There was also Rezin, the king of Syria, a nation kind of up over here. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah, that's the king of Israel. That's the northern tribes, because there was that split between the people of God, the Israelites, between the southern kingdom of Judah, who followed the line of David, and the Israelites, following mostly the line of Ephraim, but regardless, all of them. And those two kings, Syria and Israel, well, they came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it. But they could not yet mount an attack against it. And when the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz, again, that's the king over Judah, and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out and meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit in the upper pool of the highway, Washer's Field. Go find him, say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands. You have quaked like trees, they are like smoldering stumps. You have no fear of them. I will be destroying them soon. At the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it. Let us conquer it for ourselves. Set up the son of Tabeel. So again, you have two kings who say, we're going to go attack the king of Judah, and then we're going to force them to pay tribute, and we're going to put our own king in place there. And so Judah is terrified, the king and all of the people with it. But these people don't really actually trust the true God very well. And yet, despite that, God says, I will be faithful to these people who I have claimed as my own. And so he sends Isaiah to go tell them, don't worry about these kings, I got this. And yet the king doesn't really seem to trust this very well. So it goes on. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from among the people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. And then again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask for a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as the heaven. Whatever you want to ask, ask of it, because I have promised this to you, O you who have little faith. So ask for any sign that you want, and once that sign is fulfilled, see, I will also do this other thing that I have promised you. But Ahaz, perhaps thinking it pious or whatever his rationale, says, well, I will not ask. I'll not put the Lord to the test. That sounds good. And thus God responded to him, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. And so in the immediate context of where this prophecy came, the idea of a God with you was a good thing for that king, because the God would come and fight your battle for you, even without the king of Judah demonstrating good trust and faithfulness. God had already determined how it would be. Now, as I was reflecting upon as well what I was going to say today, I was realizing that I think for most people today, it's not so much a concern of what happens if God visits me, but rather, where is God right now? In other words, how I would long for God to be with me, but right now I am struggling. Right now, as the bills stack up, I am struggling to recognize how will I have a future and a hope. Or right now, as medical problem after medical problem after medical problem stacks on, and I wonder, what is my future or the future of a loved one that I have? or wherever I find myself feeling overwhelmed by everything around me and my responsibilities, and I just cannot seem to measure up, and yet still more and more piles on me, and I wonder, God, where are you? Will you come visit me? And the truth of the matter is that we have a God who is with us. We have a God who took on flesh, walked among humans, knows what it is like to be humans, both in the joys and the struggles. For he was tempted just like us, yet did not fall into sin. He sees what we go through, and he carries us through. But I do want to note as well the immediate context. As I was meditating on the first text that I read, where again, this one who is born, or in the case, to be born, as the angel visits Joseph, is given two names. And the first is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then he's Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. And as I further reflect upon the significance of this God who is with us, I was recalling the many times in my life where I very much reflect the words of Paul. The good things that I want to do, I do not do. And the bad things I legitimately do not want to do, that's exactly what I do. In other words, all too often in my life, while it's true that there are times that are that which is external to me causing havoc, generating within me an appropriate cry, God, please come, I also have all those times in my life where it is my sin, my failures, my shortcomings that have ruined things for me. The times where I've interacted with people and I missed exactly what they were sharing, what they were communicating, and in a lack of awareness, have snubbed them. Or the times where I'm so lost in my own world and what I'm looking to have happen, and I'm driving straight for that, that I miss the needs of everyone else around me. I accomplished the goal, and yet so many damaged relationships along the way. Or what I think is good, I drive straight toward that, running toward it with all my might, and I get there and realize not only was it not that great, it actually didn't help me at all, and now I'm in a worse off place than I was had I not pursued it. In other words, my own sin, my blindness, my pride, everything I think I want and I deserve leads to self-harm and the damaging of the people around me. And this is a problem. My pride that tells me I am right in every circumstance and whatever else they think is wrong hurts me and hurts others. My sin is a problem and I need it addressed. And the reality is that when God comes, all too often, I am not that different from Adam and Eve. For God does visit his people. He comes to you in his word. He comes to you with his Holy Spirit. He convicts you and says, what you are doing is not good. And the response I want to give is to hide away and say, no, you don't see nothing, God. Don't look this way. I hid from you because I was naked. In other words, we don't want to truly confess the real problem, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the pride, the inability to consider fully the needs of others as God calls us to. So why is it good news that God with us has come? Because he will save us from our sins. Because he does. Jesus was born. He goes on and he's baptized. He goes out into the wilderness. He's tempted by the devil and he comes back. And the first thing he says to everyone is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But God has not come to you in terror to show you your sins and say, now that I've demonstrated for you how you are wrong, I will kill you. But he comes to you saying, I have a better way for you. I have a way that is not continuing on this repetition of self-harm and the harming of others. No, I have a way for you that is restoration. I have a way for you that is life. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Jesus says, I see you there, struggling with your sin. And I have come to set you free. Because you do not need to be a slave to your sin any longer. You do not have to fall into the same ruts of life, the same patterns. But rather, God says, come and confess to me that which you struggle with, that which you do, that which you know hurts you. Tell me these things. Ask me to help you. And God does. God helps us in our struggles and our pain and our sorrows that we self-inflict. He says, I don't want you to stay that way. So rejoice that God is with you. Rejoice that God comes to you to save you from your sins. This day and every day. Amen. Thank you.
Please stand as we confess our faith. And today we will be confessing using this explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, very appropriately describing all that Jesus has done for us. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. And now as we head into our prayer time, we want to be praying for David Norris's family, as David's father passed away lately. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day that you have given us, Lord. We thank you that you have given us another day where we can respond in thanksgiving and praise for all that you have done for us, all that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, as we celebrate this Christmas season, Lord. Be with those who are sick. Be with those who are traveling. Be with those who are gathering together in families, Lord, that there may be peace and tranquility, Lord, that people can enjoy the presence of of others, Lord. And Lord, I pray especially, Lord, for David and his family today, Lord. I pray that you would give them peace, that you would give them comfort, Lord, that you would be their God and their rock in this difficult time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with all those who are in authority over us, Lord. Especially we pray today for those who are governing us in the city. I pray that you would be with the mayor and aldermen, the police officers, the firefighters, Lord, all who keep us safe and protect us, all who lead us and continue to work so that our lives can be better. All this we ask in your holy name, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Stars.
now having received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness and strength that he gives us in this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Announcements we have for this morning. There's no Sunday school today. There was Bible class, correct? Yep, Dad's got Bible class today. Also, we have Bible class on Christmas Day, correct? Yeah, no, not. Thought it said that. Okay, that's fine then. I'm like reading it again. Also, big announcement here today, and we like to celebrate the big anniversaries. Nelson and Grace Davenport will be celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary this Friday, December 26th. So, That is amazing and wonderful. Also, one other thing is if you have kids or grandkids, 4-year-old through fourth grade, there is a special gathering on New Year's Eve in the gym, and the ball's dropping at noon, which is a much better time for the ball to drop for 4-year-old through fourth grade. And so basically it's a big New Year's party that we are holding in the gym, and there'll be events and games and all kinds of stuff to do. So come and bring your little ones, all right? Well, it's actually going to be, yes. And then there is registration on the website. It is all in the announcements in the bulletin, all right? God's blessings on your week, my friends. And be praying for us as we travel for that surgery for Josh. So, yep. Keep us in your prayers. Thank you so much, folks.